It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. Let's start the hour off with some HTO for you for free. All you got to do is text the keyword T to 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors, including the return of Blueberry Summerade. It'll be good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. Again, that's T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. We begin this hour of Sports Day. A little Royals talk here, Tommy. I don't want to say it was all the schedule and what ails them, but the schedule certainly helped get them back on track. Now they begin a six-game road trip with the first game coming in Tampa tonight in a place that has become a hitter's park. You'd like to see the Royals open things up. Tampa can pitch, but you know they're playing in this park now that – listen, I know they went 5-1. They scored a combined four runs. Was it seven runs in the three games against the Astros. Two of the wins were 2-0. They're not back on offense by any means. They're not there yet. They beat up on the Rockies a little bit and scored some runs. Good for them. That's what they're supposed to do. But they only scored seven runs in three games against the Astros. So the overlying issue of the offensive production still is not come around. Playing lesser opponents has helped them win some of those games, but they're still not hitting the ball the way they need to be hitting the ball.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, because I haven't really been following where the Rays are playing. I'm curious to know what makes it a hitter's park. Is it just the dimensions of the field?
I don't know what it is, but it's like you look across baseball and you see, you know, the Rays about average or above average in runs scored in the American League. And you're like, well, what is that all about? And that's just something I'd heard early in the year that was going to play more of a hitter's role than maybe.
I mean, that's, I guess, good for the Royals going into this series.
Right.
But, you know, like, look, I think that, yeah, a little bit of it was schedule. The fact that they were able to get runs across the board against the Rockies in that midweek series last week. But they still, you know, were able to get 2-3 from Houston. The pitching was really good outside of the finale on Sunday for Kansas City. I think, you know, you've got to feel at least marginally better about the overall prospects of the Royals after the Houston series. I think, you know, things kind of came back down to earth a little bit after sweeping the Rockies, but still being able to take 2-3 from Houston, and in the way that they were able to do it ultimately in the first two games by shutting out Houston, the bullpen looked good in those games as well. I think that going on the road, I certainly feel better about the Royals now than I did at the start of their last road trip.
It's interesting, you know, if you look across baseball right now, in all of baseball, Tommy, there's only one team that has scored fewer runs this year than the Royals, and it's my Rangers. If you think you're frustrated about offense, Royals fans, try being a Rangers fan. Like, it is, because the, you know, the Rangers are supposed to be built on offense. Like, they're loaded. Their lineup is loaded, and they are not, they cannot score any runs. And they're having the same, I was watching the game against the A's last night, same conversations. Like, it feels like this is just a, like a collective slump. And at some point it's going to be burst out of. I would tell you that on paper, you'd think the Rangers lineup would have a better chance. The Royals need some help here. But, you know, they, both of these teams are very much in the mix. They're both a, one, the Royals are game under 500, the Rangers game over 500. So they've withstood it okay. And I think that's encouraging, honestly. I do, because the other bad teams are the other teams that haven't scored a lot of runs, kind of like the Rockies and the White Sox. The Blue Jays, oddly, haven't scored a ton of runs. So I think it's a symptom of a lot of things. I think it's okay. Like, I'm not overly concerned with it. I like the way the Royals have been preventing runs for the most part this year. We have to start asking the questions about whether or not this is fixable internally, right? Like, can what's like, is this going to take external help to get significantly better? And I think the answer to that question is very likely yes. I do. I think they're going to have to find another bat, significant bat, before the end of this season if they want to get where they're trying to go. And maybe it's more than one. But whether that's Caglione or whether it's somebody via trade, they're going to need to bring in some help.
I get it, and I don't think you're wrong. I really am interested to see how Drew Waters continues his play. Because, you know, if he can get it going and solidify, and I think he should be, and he pretty much already is at this point, should be an everyday player for the Royals. Yeah. You know, they're putting the expectation to be that guy, to be, you know, a core contributor on this team, you know, and potentially a starter every single day on his shoulders. And that's been what we've been waiting on from Drew Waters for a while. You know, is he going to be an all-star? I don't think he projects out, you know, quite there, but you need at least somebody that you feel like you can put out in the outfield that can produce. And at least so far in this run, Drew Waters has been able to do that. It's a very low bar, honestly, because of how bad the outfield has been for Kansas City, going back to even last season. So it's not like you have to be this like premier outfielder. You just have to do better than what the outfielders have done last season and so far this year, you know, for Kansas City. And so if Waters can do that, then yeah, like I don't think that negates your argument of that they need to go out and get an impactful bat potentially. But I do think that at least you can see improvement in the outfield because of Drew Waters coming up and playing every day.
And Drew Waters, I hope, and again, high pedigree, but he doesn't do the thing that they need so desperately. And his development's awesome. Like, it's going to be it could be a major factor this year. But they are not hitting any home runs at all. You look at the leaders of this team in OPS, and Drew Waters is one of them. You know, Mark Canha probably doesn't have enough ABs or anything to really get a good look. But if you look at, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., Drew Waters, and Michael Garcia, for instance, and Garcia is like barely at league average, but you look at those guys right there. How many home runs do you think those three guys have collectively?
Four?
Five.
Five? Yeah.
Okay. How many home runs collectively do you think Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby have at this point?
Seven.
Yes. So there's your issue right there. It's not like, and that's what I mean, like Drew Waters getting on base and, you know, that's great. I love it. Love to see it. That's not what this team is starved for. This team is starved for people in the middle of the lineup to drive runs in, not score those runs. They need somebody. Vinny Salvi, we're looking at you more than anybody else to drive those runs in. They don't have a middle of the lineup right now. That's the problem. Like, they don't have anybody that even profiles.
Well, and so don't
they've
you
been
think
running, they've been trying to make Michael Massey their six hole?
Right. Don't you think that they really? I know that there were negotiations and there were conversations about trying to bring a middle of the lineup bat in during the offseason. I know that they were linked to Santander, who obviously went back to, you know, to Toronto and all of that. Like, there were those conversations during the offseason, but really, outside of the bullpen and pitching, the priority was getting table setters in that lineup. Yep. They went out and got Jonathan India. You know, they've got like those guys to be able to get on base. That hasn't really been a major issue this season. You've got the players that have gotten on base. There just hasn't really been anybody to be able to bring those guys in. That's been the major factor.
And the two guys that are in the position, you know, and in the lineup in a position to do it just have been off to a slow start, Salvi and Vinny. Salvi's starting to pick it up. So here's, like, for me, it's like, at what point do you just let Drew Waters hit in the five hole? Like, if he's going to get on with singles, great. Like, there's a decent chance somebody will be on for him. Maybe that single will score us a run. Like, just go nuclear with the lineup outside of Bobby Witt Jr. in the two hole. Like, totally mix it up and just see if you can scratch and claw some runs together. And Matt Cutrero has shown it out.
Cutrero has shown that he's willing to tinker with that. I mean, moving Vinny Pasquantino to the seven hole for a game.
But
and,
I think
and all
he only
that.
Did that for like one game, right? Like, that was it. He did it that one time. And at some point, and it's not like, that's the thing. Like, again, it's kind of like the back end of the bullpen, right? When I was wanting to pull my hair out because I wouldn't use Ursic anywhere, let alone like in high leverage spots. Like, at some point, it's not, we'd all like for the lineup to go India with Vinny, Salvi, and what, like, we'd all like that to happen. But if it's like at the moment, it needs tinkering and it's not working, mix it up. If Drew Waters is on fire right now, move him up in the lineup for a minute. If Canna's going to be a flash in the pan this year, let him hit cleanup. Who cares? Like, at this point, just anything you can do. I don't know that the home runs are coming. I mean, I don't think that they are outside of Vinny and Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. Those are going to be the only three guys that hit a lot of home runs. Maybe Mikel Garcia gives you a little pop. It's not going to come via the long ball, at least not right now. So what can you do to get these runs across the plate? Because you're not getting any easy ones through home runs. You're just not. Like, it's not going to be what this team does. And we knew that coming into the year. That's one of the reasons I think we're seeing Cags get fast-tracked, honestly. Like, the thing he does well is what they need so desperately right now. And you got to be careful with it. And it's too early, right? They just had a great homestand. They won a bunch of games. This is a team that absolutely can win low-scoring games. They've got good starting pitching. They have a great back end of the bullpen. But it's something we got to monitor because it's like the problems, I don't think, are just that they're slumping. We'll talk more about this in a little bit when we return. More on the NFL draft. Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, hops on to Sports Daily. Don't go away.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Joining us now, Felix Johnson, our Chiefs Insider, looking at the NFL draft. A lot to get to. We talked to Felix last Friday. After the first round and not the other collection of rounds. I know you were not in love with Josh Simmons. Maybe not enough pizzazz for you there, Felix. But I would ask you now that you've seen the rest of the draft play out, are you more on board with it or would you still like to see a different direction on the top?
I think we just kind of saw a Brett Veach draft, heavy on defense and necessary on offense, where they go out and get Josh Simmons. Obviously, we talked about that on Friday, where it's going to work. I hope it does, because it's left tackle. And if he's the talent that he's supposed to be getting him at 32 and then getting another pick based off the trade, awesome. Great. I hope that works out. But the Chiefs have had multiple tackles who haven't worked out. So maybe there's something with the development of the position, but nobody's up to Josh Simmons's pedigree, at least. And so with the rest of the draft, they went heavy. They got a couple corners. They got a late round running back. We've seen that before. 2022, almost exactly what it was back then, with the exception of Simmons and Karloftis and all that good stuff. But we talked about how if the Chiefs were going to draft an edge rusher, whether that may point them in the direction of what they're going to do with George Karloftis next season. Well, their next pick was an interior defensive lineman. Then the pick after that was an edge rusher. So that pointed them in a direction of, like, we understand where George Karloftis is good. Let's get another good year out of him. Maybe franchise tag him if he has the case for it next year. And then figure out whatever the case may be with the rookie guys that you have, like Astro Gillette and different guys like that. So I am interested because I am a Chiefs fan and Brett Veach obviously has a proven track record. But I would have liked to have seen something different, and this is just what we've seen from the Chiefs in the last handful of years.
Felix, we had this conversation in our last hour about what the other teams in the division did early on as far as impactful potential running backs on their roster. They all did it, whether we're talking about Ashton Jeanty with the Raiders, Amarian Hampton with the Broncos, RJ Harvey with the Chargers. You know, clearly, like, you know, these other teams in the division and with the coaches that they have, They're going to want to run the football on Kansas City. The Chiefs were really good at stopping the run last season, especially against lead backs. But you talked about interior defensive line and really the what the Chiefs want to do at that position. We know they don't have Derek Nnadi. We know they don't have Turk Wharton. They signed Jerry Tillery. They drafted a guy early on the interior defensive line. How do you think Kansas City came out in that regard, especially knowing that, you know, it does look like these other teams in the division are going to want to run the ball on them?
We'll focus on defense here, but I do want to talk about, like, if the Chiefs offensively, like, they want to run the football, they should want to run the football too. But if everybody else in the division is doing it, maybe you should want to do a little bit of it too. But defensively, it is going to be interesting to see where their new pieces fit in. Jalot and Norman Lott, they have different guys coming in, and whether or not they're going to be immediate impact players. Obviously, with guys like Chris Jones, your defensive line is made obviously a little bit better, at least on its face. But losing guys like Turk Wharton, Derek Nnadi, and going back even a little bit, Colin Saunders, who weren't exactly like these big, great names of like, oh, this is like, this name is coming to my head, but Damon Snacks Harrison, who's like, this is a run stopper. These guys actually came in and had some type of value to this team without being these big names that you see every week. And so I am interested to see where the Chiefs are. They drafted a linebacker in Jeffrey Bassa later on, and so they have another guy to add into that rotation, because I expect Leo Chenault to have a bigger role this year in the run-stopping capability. So I am interested, to say the very least, just because the Chiefs' defensive line, I've always thought, has the ability to be one of the best in the league. It's just that they haven't reached that potential yet, and they've just added more to it.
So you said, and I've said this, and we said this all a ton last year, that they need to run the ball more. I looked this up. With running backs, they ran the ball more than they have ever in the Patrick Mahomes era last year. They had more running back carries than any year since 2018. At the same time, they did it far less effectively than they ever have. I think it's a product of Kareem Hunt. I do. Like, I think, you know, Kareem Hunt helped them a lot last year, but they just had no juice in the run game. I don't know how much I think they need to run it next year. If you could tell me, and it's almost possible for me to imagine that they won't be a better pass blocking team next year. But if you can tell me they'll be a better pass blocking team next year, I would say I'm more open to them slinging it around based on the players they have on offense. If they have Rice and Worthy and Brown and Kelsey and now Royals and Juju Smith-Schuster, like, I'm good with slinging it around next year if they can block it up, which is something they couldn't do last year, which is why they did run it more last year. They just didn't do a very good job of it.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily hate it if I could trust all of those guys that you just listed. Like, Juju, sure, whatever, he's Juju Smith-Schuster. Rashee Rice, I loved what he did for the first four games of this season, but that's all we saw from him this year. So hopefully he can become that guy. Xavier Worthy, I think that we've seen basically everything we're going to see from Xavier Worthy to me. Like, he's going to be a few more completions downfield or whatever the case may be, but he is basically what he's going to be: a fast guy, a second receiver, maybe even third receiver, whatever the case may be. None of those guys really gave me the oomph for like what the Chiefs are trying to do next year. Now, I understand, obviously, go get Josh Simmons, but if you can't make the moves in free agency, you kind of have to make them in the draft, and they did it, and fine, whatever. They're going to make the moves. Like, we've talked about it all the time. They can make none of the moves that we've talked about and still be in the AFC Championship game, and we won't be shocked. So they're going to be at least in the conversation as contenders as the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm just not sure where that extra oomph is coming from, because the defense is as good as it's going to get. The offense isn't going to change exactly. You got to throw in something new, and they didn't really throw in anything new. I think we're going to see something with Rashee Rice's suspension coming down soon, and that's half the season maybe. And so do you really want to be down at your number one receiver effectively? He may not be the number one in the league as a whole, but do you want to lose him for half the season and have no other recourse other than, yeah, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy? And Hollywood Brown wasn't there to start the season last year.
How do you feel overall about their seventh round pick, the running back out of SMU, Breshard Smith? I mean, he's a guy that coming out of college was one of the best receiving running backs out of college. And to me, it seems like a guy that while he's got that talent to catch the football, either out of the backfield or split out wide, really, I mean, they don't have like a workhorse early down running back. I know Pacheco, the way that they lean on him, more than likely, he's going to get injured at some point during the season. And then, you know, you're hoping that Kareem Hunt has some juice left in the tank, and you're hoping that Elijah Mitchell can recapture some of his excitement from his rookie season a few years ago. But other than that, they don't really have a workhorse. How did you feel about the way that they deployed it, at least running back, in the draft?
Right. And we've talked about it. Andy Reid's not going to have a workhorse unless it is Kareem Hunt in his prime or Jamal Charles or Brian Westbrook or LeSean McCoy. Like, it has to be one of these guys that are the best in the league. So that's just not going to happen. So I think that it's just another guy added to the fleet, and Breshard Smith, a receiving back. And obviously we want to throw it around, and you see how creative Andy Reid and Matt Nagy probably, and Patrick Mahomes and all those, Joe Blaymeier, their passing game coordinator, how interesting they can be in the screen game. So get another running back. I mean, one of the biggest plays of the year was the fourth down call to Samaje Perine, and it was a pass to a running back. So this is obviously an offense that wants to get the running back more involved offensively, whether that is running the ball like we have talked about, or through the passing game like we're talking about here with Breshard Smith. I think that is just another piece of, oh, maybe they're going to throw something in. And him being drafted in the seventh round shouldn't be as discouraging, because who wears number 10 for the Kansas City Chiefs? A seventh round pick. So I think it's going to be an interesting spot if he makes the roster. Again, he is a seventh round pick.
Yeah, that one's interesting. Wide receiver's interesting. Royals is a guy that profiles a lot like Rashee Rice, mm-hmm. a yak guy, right? Quick trip. So I don't know. I kind of feel like that was a backup plan a little bit. Like, you know, maybe if Rice gets suspended, that's where they took that guy, and that's why they took that guy. And he had kind of like Simmons, right? Some higher grades. Don't know why he fell. We know why Simmons fell. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a pretty appropriate level of risk for that position. I was not on board with the go ballistic over, and I almost always am. Hand up, Tommy can attest to this. I'm always like, they need more at receiver. They need more at receiver. I don't feel that way this year. And I thought that pick was a nice little slide it in slowly if Rice gets suspended in the middle of the year, and let him try to fill that role.
Yeah. No, again, the Royals, whatever, this is going to be the best season of his career no matter what. Like, he's going to be the best version that Jalen Royals could be in his rookie season, strictly because Andy Reid's the head coach and Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback. Even if the offense kind of looks like it has in the last couple years, Jalen Royals is going to have, just because of what you're saying, because we've seen Rashee Rice in this offense, and so they have kind of troubleshot a player like him, if you will. They know what plays work for Rashee Rice. So let's just say, hey, let's just take Rashee Rice's plays, copy and paste them to Jalen Royals if it works out that way. And obviously they're going to have a long offseason to figure all that stuff out. And we've seen over the last few years, it took Xavier Worthy the entire season to figure it out. It took Rashee Rice the entire season to figure out. It took Sky Moore never to figure it out. So, like, it's going to take a long time for certain guys to figure it out. It may take Jalen Royals until the playoffs to even be getting legitimate play time and multiple or legit snaps during games. And do you want that to be the case by that point in the playoffs? Do you want a fourth-round rookie making big plays for you? Maybe. Depends on the situation, because you have Mahomes and Reed to trust and Kelce to trust. So I am interested to see how that works out. Would have liked to see the Chiefs make some more offensive moves. They obviously did get a little bit more risky, like you're talking about, Jacob, with trading and moving around a little bit and trying to get more picks and more players because they're looking towards the future. But this was a kind of a Brett Veach draft. Go get a couple defensive backs. Go get a receiver that fits what you already do. Go draft an offensive lineman because, frankly, you need one. So I'm not shocked with anything that they did. And Royals is one of those things that, like, oh, it'll be interesting to see what they do because it's probably going to work.
There was a lot of speculation going into the draft that at least, you know, one of the picks, and maybe even later in the draft, the Chiefs would have went tight end. And, you know, considering that, you know, Travis Kelce probably isn't super long for the NFL long term. And they do have Noah Gray. They do have Jared Wiley entering year number two into the league. Were you surprised at all that they didn't go tight end at all?
You know, I think it's kind of interesting. We were having a conversation last week with our in Field Vision, and we were just talking about, like, should the Chiefs draft a tight end? Because it's like, Travis Kelce, sure, he's old, fat, and slow, but he was one of the top four most effective tight ends in the league last year, production-wise. And so if Loveland or Warren would have dropped past 20, do I see the Chiefs making some type of move? Maybe. But also, Noah Gray has been very good. Like, he's been a very good tight end. And I'm not saying that he's going to be Travis Kelce Jr., but he's going to be a good tight end whenever Travis Kelce decides to retire as the starter for the Chiefs. So I am interested in what the future for Noah Gray is. And had Loveland or Warren dropped any further past 10 or 14, which they weren't going to, There might have been a move made, but even then it would have been like, wait, what are the Chiefs doing? So
I mean, look, nobody's going to be Travis Kelce. I think people need to stop with that. Like, who replaces Travis Kelce? The answer to that question is nobody replaces Travis Kelce. The offense will look different.
Travis Kelce can't replace Travis Kelce right now.
Right. The fact that they went Tony Gonzalez seemingly to Travis Kelce is absurd.
Don't forget about Leonard Pope.
It's not like you will not replace Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Not what he means to Mahomes, not what he's meant to this offense. Like, it's impossible. So they're not going to draft his replacement. Noah Gray's going to be fine. Like, we've seen it. They've got to change the offense a little bit, which I think is what we've seen in the last few drafts and the kinds of players they're taking. That's the replacement to Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. How does the pass design look different in a couple of years?
Right. That you're exactly right. They have to figure out, and that's why maybe I'm a little bit early on it, where I wanted them to get a receiver this year. Maybe it's next year, like you're saying, after Travis Kelce retires. Like, all right, let's fully change this offense. Let's get a number one receiver, whether it be via trade, free agency, or trading up in the draft, or whatever the case may be. Or if Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy has developed into that number one guy, then so be it. Or hell, we're talking about him. Jalen Royals as a fourth round pick, you know? And so I wouldn't be shocked if exactly that's the scenario you're describing, but you would like to have some type of transitional period where it's like, we have Travis Kelce and can be effective in what we used to do, but also we're moving forward with and being effective now with wide receivers and what we can do in that facet of our game. So it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They're probably going to be fine just because they've been in, what, 7 straight AFC championship games and 3 straight Super Bowls and won 2 of them. But I would like to see something different because all of that can go away just like that.
Let me ask you one more here, Felix. Give me your favorite draft. Like, what team do you think did the best?
Oh, man, that's a good one. It's hard for me to not go away from let's say everything works out for every team. The team that's the happiest is the New York Giants because they got their edge rusher and they were a top 3 defensive end team in all of football last year, which is kind of shocking that they drafted Abdul Carter, to me at least. But they were, he was slotted to go there and best player available, makes all the sense in the world. But also they trade up and get Jackson Dart. If he works out, you have your 5th-year option quarterback, your franchise quarterback, and in New York, it's New York, so we'll never hear the end of it. So I think the Giants, let's say everything works out, they're probably having the best draft. But to me, I'm such a sucker for Caleb Williams because I like him. Colson Loveland going number 10 to the Bears. I'm interested to see how that works out with Ben Johnson and what he did with Laporta in Detroit. So yeah.
Yeah, I think the Bears collectively, if you collect the whole offseason. But that, you know what's funny? That same thing you just said about the Giants? Well, you can say the exact same thing about the Browns. They got their defensive lineman early. They didn't have to take quarterback, and they didn't have to trade back up to get their quarterback.
You got another hour for the whole Shadur conversation. Do you got it?
Yeah, I do think, like, in your scenario of if everything works out for teams, the Browns will win the draft because they found a quarterback in the 5th round.
Sure.
Like,
for sure. If Shadur Sanders is what Shadur Sanders believes he is, then the Browns win. But assuming he's a 2-3 round draft prospect in a bad quarterback year, he's probably going to be on 4 or 5 different teams before his rookie contract is over.
I agree. And it's funny, too. I think the Browns did a nice job with that trade. I think the Jags did, too. Pretty hard to blame the Jags for going to get 2 players at the top of the draft.
Yeah,
just essentially what they did.
It's just kind of hard to trade up and get Travis Hunter, who probably wasn't the best corner in this draft, and he was the best corner in this draft and definitely wasn't the best receiver. So why do you draft him at number 2 is my question.
Because he's 2 players. Even if he's a good receiver and a great corner, you got 2 players with 1 pick.
You got your 5th or 6th receiver that you could have gotten with an undrafted free agency contract.
Oh, you're not getting, you think he's a 5th or 6th receiver? Oh, in this draft class?
No. For his team. Like, I mean, like maybe for the Jags, because it's going to be fun.
You think Travis Hunter is going to be the 5th receiver on the Jags depth chart?
Because he's going to be their number 1 corner. Yeah.
Oh, no. He's playing both ways.
There's no way.
He's playing both ways. Well, let Mark, what is it? Max, April 29th, 2025 at 8:34 here. Travis Hunter's playing both ways.
He'll get some snaps like Deion did.
No. He's playing.
They're not going to put him out for 150 snaps a game. That's a recipe for disaster.
Because the football field gets longer in the NFL, and he's only done that his entire life.
Yeah, but the Jags are going to be investing a significant amount of money into him, and every snap you're out there increases the risk of getting injured.
You double
the opportunity for him to get injured.
You want
to
know why they made the trade, Jacob? They're the Jags, and they're stupid.
Felix messaged me, said, wasn't it the Colorado player I expected to get fired up about? Now this is all I want to talk about. So you don't think the Jags move up the way they moved up, trade all the capital they trade? You think they did that so he can play wide receiver?
No, not at all. I didn't say that. I think he's going to play cornerback. He's going to be one of their starting cornerbacks. He's going
to
be...
Okay, so it not play receiver, though? Like, to only play one way?
I think that he will get snaps at both position, but I don't think they're going to start him, and I don't think he's going to play significant snaps at both positions every single game this season. That's a recipe for disaster.
Do you think that's because of his ability to play both ways?
No. I think he's got the ability
to
do it.
Conditioning to do it doesn't change.
It's not about the conditioning, and it's not about the ability. It's about the protecting of the investment. Right. Like they traded a lot to get him. They're going to sign him to a big contract, like all of that. He's going to make a lot of money. And every time he's out on the field, he's going to, you know, like if he played every single snap on offense and defense, you've doubled the risk of significant injury for a guy that you're going to be paying a lot of money to.
But like what? You invested that much because you envision him playing both ways.
Yeah, but I think he can still contribute both. I'm not saying he's not going to play both ways. I'm just saying he's probably going to, in my opinion, I think he's going to probably be a pretty dynamic cornerback in the league. And then I think that they'll probably put him out there in different packages and things like that offensively, but he's not going to be their number one cornerback and their number one receiver. It won't be their number one receiver.
Because they have that already. Right. Brian Thomas was incredible last year.
He's probably not going to be their number two receiver either. He might be there.
I don't know if I agree
with Felix in saying he's going to be five or six, but I think he'll probably be like, they can probably put him out there in four receiver sets, maybe three receiver sets occasionally, but I don't think he's going to be consistently on the field on both sides of the ball. I think that's unrealistic.
So I would imagine here's what I would think of him as, and let me pull up their depth chart just to make sure I'm not, I think he'll start the year as like their third receiver. They don't even have anybody listed right now, really, else besides Thomas, I don't think. I think he'll start the year as the third, and then he'll be the second wide receiver by the end of this year. I didn't realize that I was in a minority here, and maybe I'm in the minority across the board. I don't know. But like Dyami Brown is their number two guy right now, who's meh, you know, he's fine. The other guys on the roster are all meh. Like way, way meh. So they look to me, when you trade all that capital, you could like they were at five. Like you, nobody in the world in the history of the NFL moves that kind of capital up to take a corner. It just doesn't like they don't make that move unless they envision him being a significant piece of both their offense and their defense. That's what I think.
I mean, Dyami Brown had a good year for the Jags last year. They also have Gabe Davis and they've got Parker Washington. Those are the main other receivers that they've got.
Travis Hunter's better than all of those guys except Brian Thomas.
Okay.
I mean, he is.
I don't know who you're arguing with here because I'm not disagreeing with you that the ability isn't there for Travis Hunter.
No, we're not arguing about that. We're arguing about their intent with the player. And I think their intent with the player, because they moved up and invested so much to get him, they envision that he's going to be Shohei Ohtani. We've just never seen
it. He's not going to be Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that's I do disagree with you on that.
You can't have football players not play football because you're afraid they're going to get hurt. Right, like Isaiah Pacheco.
I'm not saying that they're afraid that he's going to get hurt. I'm saying they're protecting their investment. It's not like if they were afraid he was going to get hurt, they wouldn't put him on the field at all. in any position. That's, I'm not suggesting that at all. What I'm saying is that they're going to be strategic and they're going to be, I think, surgical in how they utilize him one way or the other. Like, and it may very well be that he's primarily offense and selectively defense. Like, I honestly, if it goes the other direction, I don't disagree with you. If you say, like, because you mentioned this before, hey, like, he could be a primary receiver and then a nickel cornerback. Okay, cool. Like, I think that that's protecting your investment. You're not putting him out there every single snap defensively and every single snap offensively. If you find a package for him as a corner on third down or whatever it is in the nickel formation, great. Like, I think that that's the way that they're probably going to utilize him. He's not going to be an every down wide receiver and in every down cornerback. That is unrealistic, and that's not being afraid he's going to get hurt. That's being smart with your investment.
I don't think it is being. I think it's being too conservative with your investment.
To not
now,
be an every down wide receiver and an every down cornerback, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Because that's what he did. No, it's not ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
It's what he did in college.
You're
Why
right.
is it ridiculous?
But it's ridiculous because at Colorado, I mean, it's completely different than the NFL, and the amount of money he's getting paid by the Jags is completely different. It's not the same scenario at all.
If his ability is not good enough to do both,
it's not about his ability. It's not at all about his ability. It's about finding opportunities where he can contribute on both sides. I'm not in the camp that says he only needs to play on one side of the ball and not have him play on the other. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. I'm saying have him be a primary guy on one side and be selective when you utilize him on the other side. That's not unreasonable whatsoever.
No, it's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. I disagree with it. I think here's all I'm saying. If he is one of your best corners, he will start at corner. If he is one of your best wide receivers, he'll also start at receiver. That's all I'm saying. And again, it's going to take outside the box thinking. How long did it take before we got to Shohei that you let a great hitter who's a great pitcher also
stop comparing him to Shohei? That's not the same situation whatsoever.
Why isn't it the same situation?
Because Shohei Ohtani bats in the lineup every day and pitches every fifth day. He's not pitching every day and batting every day. It's a completely different, it's apples and oranges. You can't compare it to that. You're playing every single snap in every single game, going back and forth on every side of the ball. And it's not just about when you're playing. It's about practicing and preparing as well. It's not about the ability whatsoever, but you don't think that one of the position coaches on either side isn't going to say, man, I really would like Travis Hunter to be more involved in our preparation and in our practices, but he's got to be over on the wide receiver room, or he's got to be over with the secondary. Like, there's not enough time in the day. There's not enough time in the week for him to realistically be able to prepare at an NFL caliber to play every single snap on both sides of the ball. You can't compare him to Shohei, because when Shohei was playing both ways, I know he's not doing it now because of his injury, but when he was playing both ways, he was in the lineup every single day and he was pitching every fifth day. It's not the same thing.
Right now, the Jags are saying he'll start with the onboarding process at wide receiver. Gladstone, the new GM there, says his intent is playing both sides of the ball, as is ours.
Great.
So we'll see. Look, we'll see how it works. It's going to be different than anything we've ever seen before. There's no question about that. It's unique. Their GM has called it. You got to understand who he is. They don't know yet, but I think it's fine. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, we all have thoughts on what he's going to do. Different teams had different thoughts on what he was going to do. Clearly, if you remember the pre-draft process,
yeah.
When I see a team trade as much as they traded to move up, it's only been done one other time, I think, that a team has traded a first to move up in the first that is not a quarterback. It's been done one other time.
The guy's got all the ability in the world, and he's extremely talented. We've known this for a long time. I'm not knocking his ability or his caliber of play or anything like that at all. You can't compare him to Shohei Ohtani. That's not the same thing at all.
I mean, they obviously play different sports. What I mean about the comparison with Shohei is Shohei did something that baseball people said for decades and decades and decades you shouldn't do, which is let the guy do both things. And they did it, and it's worked out well. That's what I'm comparing it to. People have said you can't do it both ways for decades and decades and decades. We haven't had a lot of guys who appear to have the ability to do both. Travis Hunter is one of those guys. Even Prime, who's probably the best comparison, he wasn't a good receiver. He was just really, really fast. Travis Hunter is actually very good at both things. And so it is unique. And until we see it play out, and I think they want to give him the opportunity to, or you don't need to trade up that much and trade that much away to go get a corner. You just don't need like that at that point. To me, that's a reach in the draft. And I don't think that that's what their intent was. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the first things first with Travis Hunter, is he good enough to be an NFL wide receiver? And is he good enough to be an NFL corner? We got to answer that question before anything else. Maybe he's not good enough to do one or the other or both. But if he is good enough to do both at a high level, I think in his career, he's going to be the, and this is where I compare it to Shohei, the guy who sort of changes the way we think about it. Well, this guy can do both. Let him do both, right? That's the comp I make with Shohei. He can pitch and hit. Let him do both. Until we had Shohei, that was a foreign concept. Since like Babe Ruth, like that didn't happen. And so it takes a unique and a dynamic talent to be able to do that. Travis Hunter appears to be able to, but he still has to prove it at both positions. He may not be good enough to do one or the other. I mean, they're going to take their time because they got to figure that out. What if he's not good enough to be an NFL wide receiver? What if he's not good enough to be an NFL corner? At that point, yeah, he's not going to play both ways very often. He may still come in packages. My thing is, if he is, then I think he'll play both ways significantly. Both ways before his career is done. I think it'll happen this year before the end of the year. I don't think it'll happen right out of the gates, but that's where I see that as far as like risk they were willing to take.
It also wouldn't surprise me if he went kind of as a Swiss Army knife, you know, type guy, if he's utilized in that way. Like where the need is, that's where right. They put him. It doesn't mean that he's consistently playing every single snap on both sides of the ball in every game. But if there's a game where they need him more at cornerback, or the game, they need him more at wide receiver, he goes where he's needed. And that may not be a game by game. That may be more of a season by season. Like, hey, man, based on our depth chart, we're going to need you to play more snaps at cornerback. Like, that could be more realistic than because what I disagree with and what I don't think is going to happen is I don't think they're going to trot him out to be your top guy at cornerback and your top guy at wide receiver, and he's going to play every single snap in every single game. I don't think that's realistic.
I don't think he will out of the gates. But I think if he gets on the field and proves he can do that, then they'll let him try.
They'll let him try. I think that it's a situation because remember, this is something that happens in sports all the time where you have to have coaches and you have to have medical personnel on the team. You have to have front office people protect the player from himself. That happens all the time. And so when you look at Travis Hunter, he's not unlike a bunch of other athletes all of the time when they're like, I want to be on the field all the time. Do not take me off. Do not take me out of a game. I want to be there every single snap, every single game. It's probably going to be a situation where the organization may have to protect him from himself. And I think that's completely okay. He's a 22-year-old kid. Like, that's what he wants to do. He has the ability to do it. I'm not knocking that whatsoever. But I think the organization has a responsibility with the amount of money that they're paying him to protect their investment and protect the player.
I get it. Like if he's Jamar Chase as a wide receiver, you want him to be Jamar Chase as a wide receiver. If he's Darrell Revis as a corner, you want him to be Darrell Revis as a corner. I get it. But what if he's both? And again, that's too much of an expectation to put on him. But that's what we had with Shohei. Man, that was a fun show. I certainly did not expect today to spend any time on Travis Hunter, quite frankly. And we got a full segment. Maybe I'm in the minority there, but that's going to be a fun one to watch, and we will do it over the course of the preseason and the offseason, and we'll probably dissect it a little too much, honestly, until the start of the season. But otherwise, good stuff. Royals tonight, Royals baseball. You get them, no shockers baseball. That game has been canceled. You got Royals Rays right here on KFH. Tommy, can we get some offense, please?
Yeah.
Too much to ask.
I mean, hey, I'm looking forward to the bats coming alive and talking about it tomorrow.
I watch two teams every night that can't score any runs, and I'm sick of it. Let's get some runs. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. We've got Shreyas Lotta in tomorrow as well, our KU insider. More Sports Daily coming your way later in the week. We'll see you tomorrow.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host...
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.